Forgotten, the Frozen North, Chapter 1, Blueprints.
Are you absolutely sure about this?
Sunny Starscout asked Mystic Cinnamon, owner and fellow curator of Maritime Bay's Museum of Equestrian History, as they stood outside the entrance of the building.
Honestly, were you expecting me to say no?
Mystic asked as he turned to lock the front doors.
Well, no, but I honestly wasn't expecting you to give me that kind of funding for the expedition either.
Sunny told him.
Why not? Miss Starscout, not only is the reunification of our nation happening because of you, but that wing of the museum looks spectacular because of you. The museum has been having record turnouts for 2 months now. You have the heart and the drive to safely and responsibly uncover Equestria's ancient history. I cannot think of anyone better. And this funding isn't just coming from me, but from museums from Zephyr Heights and Bridalwood as well. So don't think that you're going to go bankrupt me by asking Canterlogic to design something bigger than those gem display cases. Besides, I don't think you'll be going anywhere quite so suddenly. You still need a safe way to not only get there, but get back as well, so you don't want to be late for your appointment at Canterlogic. Have a pleasant evening, Miss Starscout, and I'll see you in the morning.
Sunny gave the elder pony a smile, nodded, and turned to trot down towards the Canterlogic factory. The second shift would be ending within the hour, so she wanted to get there before the owner Phyllis Cloverleaf went home for the evening. Even now, nearly 3 months after magic had returned to Equestria and reunification had begun, Sunny still felt pride swelling when she walked the streets of her hometown and saw unicorns and pegasi visiting locations all over town. She had even heard talks of Canterlogic expanding and offering to help build neighborhoods further inland to help accommodate any population increases. Making it clear that she was welcome absolutely anytime, Phyllis had provided Sunny with an access badge, to avoid the hassle of filling out a form for a visitor's pass. So she came to the main gate, dug said pass out of her saddlebags, and put it up to the scanner. The indicator light blinked green, and the turnstile let her proceed up to the main concourse. Once inside the factory proper, she began making her way towards Phyllis's office, and didn't get 50 feet down the corridor before running into Toots, the stout director of Canterlogic's research and development.
Evening, Sunny. Phyllis mentioned having a quick appointment with you before she headed out. On your way there now?
Yep.
Sunny answered, nodding.
Actually, do you have a few minutes as well? This involves R&D.
Oh, well in that case, let's not waste any time.
Toots said, turning and walking alongside her as they made their way to Canterlogic's main production floor.
So, how have things been in the past couple of months?
Sunny asked as they made their way to production.
Oh, couldn't be more exciting. We've got more unicorns and pegasi working here now, and we've even got ongoing talks about contracts for starting trade with Zephyr Heights and Bridalwood. Our construction wing is even talking about getting some of the ancient roadways repaired and maintained.
Toots told her.
What about the ancient railways? According to one of my dad's maps, they were spread out all across the entire continent.
Sunny asked.
That I wouldn't be as hopeful on finding.
Toots answered, remembering his trip to the museum, seeing the images of tracks and passenger trains.
Those railroad tracks were made out of wood and iron. They would certainly have to be maintained and replaced every few years. Left abandoned, the wood would certainly rot away after a few decades, and I can only assume that if any of the iron remains, it has almost certainly been overgrown by the surrounding ground.
Toots let Sunny ascend the steel steps to Phyllis's office first, and was right behind her as they turned 90 degrees to the left hallway up at the corner, up to the door where she knocked.
Come in, please!
Immediately came the reply from Canterlogic's owner. Sunny turned the door handle and opened the door to the second floor office, revealing Phyllis Cloverleaf, owner of Canterlogic, and at a smaller desk adjacent to hers, her son, Sprout.
Good afternoon, Sunny.
Phyllis greeted.
Good afternoon, Phyllis. Sprout.
Sunny replied, acknowledging the younger stallion who had taken a part-time job here at Canterlogic for some extra bits when he wasn't retraining as Hitch's deputy.
What can we do for you today? Whenever Sunny Starscout visits, I know R&D is about to get exciting.
Phyllis said, getting an immediate nod of agreement from Toots. Sunny sat in one of the visitor's chairs on the other side of Phyllis's desk, with Toots taking the one next to her. And she dug into her saddlebag, coming out with a laminated piece of parchment, which she laid down on the desk.
So, the museums have secured funding to make the trek to the northern Arctic region to search for any remains of the Crystal Empire.
Sunny announced, tapping a hoof on the top of the ancient map. Both Phyllis and Toots leaned forward to get a closer look at the documents.
Because of the distance and climate, I'm hoping that Canterlogic can provide a means of transportation to get there and back safely.
That's quite the distance. I don't know if any pony has been up there in ages.
Phyllis replied, looking at the map.
Yep, that's the exciting part. I'm also hoping that the climate will have helped the preservation of artifacts. Queen Haven has a long-range topography team attempting to get as far north as they can to update this map. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think a good foundation would be Sprout's vehicle.
Sunny told her. Sprout, who had been sipping at a glass of water, went into a coughing fit as the last swallow went down the wrong tube upon hearing that.
I mean, not exactly like that, but the base concept is the same. A cockpit that is protected from the elements, wheels that can handle rough terrain, fuel efficient, cargo space for consumables, and in case of emergencies, a way to signal for help.
Sunny described the basic needs for the project.
I can see where you're coming from. Sugar Cube, did you put the blueprints for your... whatever it was called in the archives?
Phyllis asked.
Sprouticus Maximus? That really didn't have any blueprints.
Sprout answered nervously, clearly a little perturbed at the memory. Phyllis's expression became dumbfounded as she turned to Toots.
Seriously?
She asked her R&D director.
It was actually kind of freaky how well it all came together.
Toots admitted.
We got that thing together and working in 2.5 days just on his descriptions.
Well, clearly, I have some engineers who need raises. Sunny, no worries. We'll get to work on what you need the right way. I can't get you a specific timetable just yet, but I'll do so as soon as possible.
Sunny Starscout gave the factory owner a smile.
Oh, no rush, Phyllis. Don't get me wrong, I'm excited, but I don't think the Arctic region is going anywhere.
A long time ago, the light magenta alicorn shot up in her bed, bolting awake in a sweat. With a few gasps, Princess Flurryheart caught her breath and threw off the multiple wool blankets that had been warding off the cold. Swinging her hooves over and getting up out of bed, she walked over to the silk curtains billowing in the frigid breeze. The windows had been blown open by a gust of icy air, again. She glanced out of the fourth-story window, not able to even make out the crystal mountains through the blowing snow and darkness. Taking another deep breath, she closed the windows and walked over to her closet, throwing on a simple fleece robe. After taking a few gulps of water from her bedside glass, she went to the door and left her personal quarters out into the halls of the Crystal Castle. To hell with looking regal at 2 a.m. She barely acknowledged the patrolling guards that she passed on her way downstairs. Going down another flight of stairs, she passed through the double doors to the castle foyer on the ground floor, which was ironically dozens of meters above the actual ground. The giant curtains to the balcony flapped wildly against the blizzard outside. Slowly, she stepped up to the foyer centerpiece, the two inverting diamond pedestals between which the Empire's most sacred treasure floated, glowing faintly in the dim ambience of the foyer. She looked back at her left flank, lifting her robe to reveal her cutie mark, a perfect rendition of the heart, surrounded by whirling wisps of wind. Then she turned back to the crystal heart, looked at her reflection in the facets of the gem, and watched her lips tremble in uncertainty.
Please help me. Show me how I can stop this. Tell me what to do. Please.
The original Forgotten Story? Flawless. This sequel? Probably going to be a blast. Same with the sequel to this story as well.
But before I get ahead of myself, let's get on to our warm donators. Top donators are 630, J10Man, Darkside, Only One Thing, and Sirur Orion. Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Roland, Stu Hex, Sword Brother and Mordred, Omicron Lyrae, Will, Chris, Twinkie, Hudzaza, Riot Soul, Iron Sky, Badass Waffle, and many more fantastic people. Thank you all so much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.